Genesis 41 tonight. Genesis 41. My favorite part of the evening when we open up the Word of God. Now, whenever I preached out of Genesis, I think last week we were in Genesis. Or no, Brother Quinlan was here last week. Isn't that when he was here? So it was the week before. I thought it had been a few weeks since we were in Genesis. But the last time we were here, 2 weeks ago, we preached Genesis chapter 41, and we went all the way to verse 45. And, we just spoke about, taking heed to God's warnings and really our helpless condition. And so we're going to carry on with that idea as we go into our message tonight. And honestly, we could take the whole chapter 41 as one message. And tonight we're sort of going to be doing that, even though we're not going to be re-preaching verses 1 through 45. We're going to take that idea of 1 through 45, and it's going to help us with our message tonight. Well, it's going to contribute to the message that we have tonight. And I know that what we're going to be talking about is a struggle that we all have at times, and that is to take heed to God's warnings. In other words, trust God's warnings. We can trust Him. I said in our in the bulletin this morning, when you took a look at the bulletin, if you saw the title for tonight, it's God's warnings should never be ignored, or they should not be ignored. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, trusting God's warnings. I found this story. The U.S. Naval Institute Proceedings, the magazine of the Naval Institute, and there's a story in there about the Navy. Two battleships assigned to a training squadron had been at sea on maneuvers in the heavy weather for several days. This man goes on, he says, I was serving in the lead battleship, was on watch on the bridge as night fell. The visibility was poor with patchy fog, so the captain remained on the bridge keeping an eye on all the activities. Shortly after dark, the lookout on the wing reported light bearing the starboard bow. Is it steady or moving astern? The captain called out. The lookout replied, steady, captain, which meant they were on a dangerous collision course with that other ship. The captain then called the signalman. The signalman, signal that ship, he said. We are on collision course. Advise them to change their course 20 degrees. Back came the signal, advisable for you to change course 20 degrees. So in other words, he said, you need to change, and then they said, you need to change. The captain said, Sind, I'm the captain, change course 20 degrees. I'm a seaman, second class, came the reply. You had better change course 20 degrees. A seaman, second class, is far lower rank than a captain, by the way. He said, and so this seaman is giving orders to the captain. You need to change course. By this time, the captain was furious. He sped out, send this, I'm a battleship. Change your course 20 degrees. Back came the flashing light, I'm a lighthouse. So they changed course. They're on a collision course, aren't they? And if they don't change directions, no matter how stubborn they are, they're going to be destroyed. Take heed to the warnings. It could be that we're on a collision course, on a path towards destruction. And God gives us warnings so that we might change our course, that we might take heed to God's warnings and remove those the danger of destruction. Now, God warned Pharaoh. How did he do it? He gave him dreams. And in these dreams, we saw that in the end, there's a famine that's coming. Didn't we see that in our story? 1 through 13, we saw Pharaoh's two dreams in Genesis 41. 1 through 13, we won't reread all these. But we saw that Pharaoh had these two dreams. You had the seven cows, you had the 7 ears of corn, the fat and strong and luscious was devoured by the lean and weak, whether it be the cow or the corn. In 14 to 18, Joseph said that God would interpret the dreams. Now, Pharaoh was really concerned about this. You know, he'd waken up and these dreams were there and he's very concerned. I mean, what is that? What is that that's coming? And Joseph had promised that there could be an interpretation of these dreams and God would be the one who interpreted the dreams. And so Pharaoh told all of the story, all of the dream to Joseph. And what did Joseph then say? Well, God is giving warning. And what's the warning? Well, there's a devastating famine that's coming. In other words, there's death that's coming. There's destruction that's coming. And so we need to take heed to it because God has made provision. And we need to take heed because if we don't, then we're going to be destroyed by the famine. Well, God warns us about coming problems, doesn't He? He warns us today about judgments that are coming. Why is that? Well, why does God warn us? Because He knows that we're helpless without His warnings. I mean, we would just tread down the path, we would go down our own road, and like Proverbs says, there's a way which seemeth right unto the man, but an end thereof are the ways of death. And that's the way we would go. We would just choose our own path, we would go down our own road, and God knows, like we should know, that it's going to lead us down a wrong path. It's going to end up destroying us. And this is the way we'd naturally go. So God warns us. Now, I was talking to my wife about this yesterday. I said, where would we be if we didn't have God's warnings? I mean, think about where you'd be if you didn't have God's warnings. And that's the point. God warns us so that He can get us back on the right path. And every time we neglect or ignore God's warnings, we end up getting in trouble, don't we? Every single time. You can mark that down because that is always true. When you ignore God's warnings, you will always be in trouble. So they're meant to save us from utter destruction. That's what warnings are for. They're meant to... You see, kids, they look at rules and they're like, oh man, this place stinks. They have all these rules. You know, you're like... They don't understand that rules are not designed to ruin the fun. If they're properly designed, they're designed to protect. To keep from destruction, right? He knows how helpless we are. That's why He warns us. He knows how much we need Him, and He knows how helpless we are without Him. We, last week in Sunday school, studied out of Hebrews chapter 2, I mean rather chapter 4, and I mean to tell you, it was really, I enjoyed our last two studies in Hebrews. This morning, I thought it went well, but those Hebrews studies out of Hebrews 4, we did two classes on that for the past 2 weeks. And if you didn't get to listen to those, I do want to encourage you to get that. I mean, sure, it's on our website. You can check it out and listen to those. Listen to a verse we dealt with in our study last week out of Hebrews chapter 4. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Do you know what that means? That means that He knows how weak we are. Let me read it again. For we have not an high priest. Who's our high priest? Who's the great high priest? It's Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of the Father, constantly making intercession for you and I. That's Jesus Christ, the great high priest. And He cannot be touched with the feeling. It says we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And it literally means that He knows how weak we are. Now, when it comes to infirmities, it's not talking about sin. It just simply means He knows our flesh and how weak we are and what our tendencies are. He understands and He loves us and He warns us. Do you know why God gives us warning? Do you know why God warns you? Because He knows how weak you are. He knows how helpless you are without His warnings. He knows that if we just go down the road and we don't have anybody ever to tell us we're going down the wrong road, we'll just go down there with a big smile on our face and run right off the end of the cliff. God knows that. And we need to take heed to that. We need to grab onto this reality in our life that if we don't have God's warnings, we are in big trouble. Can we just lock onto that now? Can we just make that a part of our understanding at this point? Because if we don't, then the rest of this isn't going to really make a difference in our life. That without God's warnings, we are on a path of destruction. And if Pharaoh would have listened to what God was warning him about this famine that's coming, if he would have heard what God's warnings was, and he says, you know what, I'm not really interested, or he ignored God's warning, it would have destroyed the nation. So it's important that we listen. Pharaoh made Joseph the commander of his forces. Why did, rather, the whole land. I mean, the only thing that Joseph wasn't was the president, the chief, the Pharaoh himself, the king. He was commander of everything else. And I would say Pharaoh was very wise, wouldn't you? And Pharaoh was very wise to put Joseph in charge of this operation. Now, what was Joseph's job? He's going to put him in charge. Here's your job. I want you to prepare for the coming famine. I want you to prepare for it. So Joseph, you know, he counseled with Pharaoh whenever, you know, he heard about this. Look at verse 33 of our text. Verse 33, look what it says. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Here's what Joseph is doing. He's giving counsel to Pharaoh. Now I've told you God's warning. God has given a warning. Now I've told you what that is. Here's what you need to do. You need to pick out a guy. You need to make him the commander of all the land. That was what would be wise. If you did that, that would be wise. Verse 34 of chapter 41. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And so we need to make preparations. You need to put somebody in charge. The idea is that we need to store up food for this 7 years, you know, of plenty that's coming. We need to store up food so that we will be prepared when the 7 years of famine comes. 37 through 39, let's take a look at those verses. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all his servants. So Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such an one as this, a man that in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said to Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee this, all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. So he puts Joseph in charge. Joseph becomes the commander. That was a wise choice. Because now that Joseph is the commander, he gets everything in order. He promotes all of the men that would be, the officers that would be in charge of the particular regions of land. And they're storing up food, getting everything prepared, getting ready for the famine. And so he's the commander. He's next in line to Pharaoh. Look at verse 46. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So, I mean, there's a couple things we can see about that. 30 years old. He was a teenager when he went to the pit. Remember that? He had the coat of many colors. He was teen. Now he's 30. So he's been sitting in pits and prisons and dungeons and whatever we can think of to put an adjective there. He's been sort of rotting away, it seems, for all of these years. And now he's been promoted to commander. And we say that it's pretty easy to see here that God didn't forget about Joseph. God remembered him. Remember whenever Joseph was a teenager and he came to his brothers and told him his dream that that they were going to be bowing down to him. And then he went to his father and said, not only are my brothers, but you and mom and everybody's going to be bowing down. And they didn't like that. And now we see that God has promoted him and God is lifting him up. We, along the way, need to understand that that we need to understand how important it is that we trust God whenever He does warn us. Now, let's think about this. Pharaoh promoted Joseph to commander because he says, well, you know, no one is as discreet and wise as you are. No one had the ability to do what you did. And really, by faith, Pharaoh promoted Joseph to commander. Faith in the testimony of Joseph about his dream. He just trusted God. He trusted Joseph. He trusted God through Joseph, you know. He trusted that you better take heed to this warning. And that's what God wants us to understand. If we would just trust God's warnings, then He would take care of our needs. If we would just see that when God warns us, if we would just trust that, that He'll take care of us. I said earlier that, He knows our weakness. He also knows what our needs are. Not just what our weakness is, what our struggles are, what our temptations are, and what our tendency to fall to temptation, but God knows what our needs are. And this is different than our weakness. This is our needs. He knows that we have needs, and He knows that we have a tendency not to trust Him to take care of our needs. I see this in my kids a lot, and I use my children for illustration, but man, when you have four kids, it's like four living illustrations, constantly doing things to help me in my preaching, but they are always having relationship problems, like with each other. All day long, my wife can testify to this. They're mostly coming to her, and they're crying. So-and-so broke my toy, so-and-so, and it's a Lego creation. So it's not like it broke. It just, you've got Ethan Godzilla, and he's just looking for ways to destroy things. Matter of fact, yesterday, Caleb had the dominoes out, and he had like a line that was like 10, it felt like 10 feet long of these dominoes, just waiting to get them all up so then he can touch the last one, and how just the chain reaction. So Ethan's, he's standing there, he's got a domino in his hand, and he's talking about, he built his little domino thing, and he just accidentally dropped the domino on the creation. There they all go, oops, And Caleb, of course, was fit to be tied after that. And they just have a way of getting at each other. They have a way of irritating each other. So they'll come to Melissa or myself, and they'll tell me their sob story. And almost every time, without fail, I can ask them, "Have you asked God what to do about this?" And they never have done that. They always come to me, and they expect me to vindicate for them, that we might see justice and that you would bring the hammer down on my guilty, evil brother, And we do that. And what I mean by that is we have a tendency to try to figure everything out ourselves. We have a tendency to try to make everything work our way instead of just trusting God's warnings and doing things God's way. Our tendency is just to try to figure it out. Because we're not really sure if God truly does understand our need, can we really go to God with our needs and trust that He'll take care of our needs? It says in chapter 6, verse 7, listen to these words. It's in a great text where Jesus is about to teach His disciples how to pray. Listen to what He says. "But when ye pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard with their much speaking." Do you understand vain repetition? Just saying, repeating a prayer or saying the same thing over and over and over, vain repetition. "And if I say it louder, if I say it longer, if I say it more times, then maybe God will hear me." No. Verse 8, He says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them." Now listen to what He says. "For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." Do you think God knows your need? Yeah, He does. Now remember, I told you out of Hebrews, and I want to encourage you I'm encouraging you two times now to listen to those Sunday school lessons if you didn't get to. But remember what I told you, that Jesus understands our weakness? He understands our frailty. Listen to the next verse. It's amazing. It says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." He understands our weakness. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might attain mercy and find grace to help in time of" what? Does God know your need? He does. And He wants to take care of your need, but you have to trust Him. You have to trust Him. And Pharaoh, because this is great, but this is almost a larger-than-life example for us tonight in Pharaoh's trusting of God. Yeah, he trusted Joseph's testimony about his dream, but in the end, Pharaoh was giving testimony right back to the God of Joseph, to the God of Joseph. And we're going to take heed. We're going to take action. We're going to listen to the warnings. There's a famine that's coming. We're going to make preparation. I'm going to put Joseph in charge. I'm going to follow the lead here. I'm going to do what I need to do. And so God provided food, as he promised that he would, for 7 years. And Joseph did what he said he needed to do. He stored it up. Look at verse 47. The 7 years of plenteous years brought forth by handfuls, and they gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up food in the cities, and the food in the fields which were round about every city laid he up in the same. Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea. Whoa. Very much, until he had left numbering, for it was without number. That is a lot of food. My kids are excited. They're like, man, Dad, I am hungry. I hear that all day long. Wouldn't it be great if you went to the kitchen and it was, you can't even, you know, as soon as you open the door, food just falls out. And you're like, yes, I can see my children swimming in food, eating it while they're swimming in it, you see. I know I'm being silly here, but it's food without number. I mean, this is exciting times. I mean, happiness is in the house when you've got food. Man, I'm getting a little excited thinking about food right now. Yeah, I'm excited about what we're going to eat tonight. I don't know what it is, but it's something to get excited about because we have it. You know, it's interesting to me that these next three verses are here. We see in verse 50 to 52, three verses that seem, if any three verses seem out of place, these three verses to me, in the context of the story, seem sort of out of place. It almost might be tempting to skip them. But it's making an amazing point about God. And it fits in the story if you'll follow with me. Look at verse 50. During the 7 years of plenty and the food is just growing, some other things are happening. Look at verse 50. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of the famine came. Joseph had two children. Do you see that in verse 50? And so he had these children. I'm not going to even go on and try to name these people that he's related to. But let me tell you, he had two children. And the first one, he gave the name unto this child. Let's see, it's the firstborn Manasseh. And he named him this, verse 51, for God, he said, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. He's saying God had helped him forget his struggles from his past, from his home, whenever he was a teen and his brothers hated him and they threw him in the pit. And God has now promoted him and given him these children. And here's what Joseph is saying. Truly, God is sovereign. Did you hear that? Truly, God knows my need before I ever knew my need. He's sovereign. Look at the next verse, 52. The second son, his name was Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. God promoted him in all. You think about all the years he spent in prison, not just at home when his brothers hated him and threw him in the pit. He's in prison and now he is vice Pharaoh. I mean, he's next in line. God knows his need. God knew his need. What a God. What a God. God can be trusted. God can be trusted. That's what he's saying. So then the 7 years of famine came. You know why they were ready for it? Because they prepared. Look at verse 53. And the 7 years of plenteous, that was in the land of Egypt, were ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come. Dearth simply means famine. According to, as Joseph has said, and the dearth was in all the land, but all the land of Egypt there was bread. And that seems so subtle, doesn't it? 7 years of famine, but here's the point. Egypt had food. They still had food. Here's what's happening. All of the land of Egypt, all of the regions round about, yea, the known world at that time was suffering from this dearth, from this famine, yet when no one else was having food, Egypt had food. But why? Because they trusted God. Yep, All the land was hungry. Look at verse 55. Look what happens here. When all the land of Egypt was famished, that means there was no more food. It's all gone. The people cried unto Pharaoh for bread. But why did they do that? Because the guy has food. Pharaoh said unto the Egyptians, go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do. That, to me, is amazing. Verse 56, and the famine was over all the face of the earth. Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians. The famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. Now watch verse 57. And all the countries came into Egypt for Joseph to buy corn, because the famine was so sore in all the land. So not just the Egyptians were running out of food in the regions round about, going to the storehouses to purchase food, but now we have all of the land, which we're going to find out next time, included his family. And we see here that God is working, the sovereign God who knew the need, who knows the future, he knows what he's doing. And Joseph is saying all along, God, who is sovereign, who knows our need, he knows our need before we even know what our need is, can be trusted, is what he's saying. He's already made provision. He's already taken care of our needs. All we need to do is trust him at his word. Oh man, isn't that powerful? He has already taken care of your need. It's already taken care of. He knows your need because he's sovereign. And not only does he know what your need is, he's already taken care of it. If we would just trust him. Provision. He's made provision. Provision's already made. What's that mean? What's provision mean? Looked it up so you don't have to. Webster's 1828, my favorite dictionary. It means this: the act of providing or making previous preparation. He's already made preparation to take care of the need that you don't even know you have. What a God we serve. So we have a problem. We're trying to deal with it. The question is, can we trust God's word? Can we trust God at his word? Can we trust principles from God's word? Can we trust him? Is it going to work out if I do this? As the Bible says over and over and over, if you do this, then God will do this. If you will do this, then God will do this. The question is, if you do this, will God do this? Will God follow through with his part? Whether it be direct commandment right out of the Word of God, or whether it be a principle out of God's Word. If you take God at his Word, will he always follow through with his promises? Always, every time. That's the question. That's a question you need to answer, because I can't answer that one for you. I can tell you what the Scripture says in my own experience, but it's something you have to step out by faith and trust by faith and put into action in your own life. So if you're worried about your finances, what's the Bible say about that? Now, my message isn't about finances tonight, okay? I'm just giving an example. So if we're worried about our finances, what does the Bible say? Listen to Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Listen close. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. That's your finances. Honor him. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So the idea is God will bless you. He will bless your finances if you make him first. That's a principle. The question is, do you trust him at his word? Now again, my sermon's not on giving, it's just a principle. God's word. Do we trust God's word? Do we trust his warnings? Do we trust him whenever he tells us, if we do this, let's not just see the good side, where if we listen to him, then God will bless us. Well, how about the warning, like, if we sin, then this is the consequence? You know, because it goes both ways, doesn't it? If we decide to engage in some sort of a sin, you think you're going to get away with it? No. God's promises are sure. We can trust God's warnings because he's already made provisions to take care of our needs. That's the point tonight. Can I give you a statement to maybe you can note it, write it down or something and remember? Don't ignore God's warnings because he knows or rather because He wants to take care of you. Let me say that again. Don't ignore God's warnings because He wants to take care of you. Two things normally happen when my children do not listen to my warning. Let me give an example. Okay, it's time to be quiet. I'm just giving an illustration, but if you were talking, you should probably be quiet. I'm at home and I say to the kids, all right, it's time to be quiet. See, they know what that is, you know. If they don't listen to this warning, one of two things is going to happen. Okay? Well, the quiet thing, I don't know. First of all, you know, if they don't listen to my warning, then they're probably going to get correction. So that's one thing that could happen. The second thing is that along the way, it might be that if they don't listen to my warnings, they're going to hurt themselves. Okay? So whether I'm asking them to be quiet and listen, or whether I'm saying, hey, stop running. Because it might be if they don't stop running, they'll get hurt by getting hit by a car or something because they're not listening. So one of two things. They don't listen to my warnings, they'll hurt themselves, or they're going to get a correction. Because God loves us, I really see that the same is going to happen to us if we ignore God's warnings. We're going to hurt ourselves. Or we're going to get corrected. And one of those two things, maybe both, is going to happen. But we can trust Him at His word. We can listen to His warnings and know that if we listen to Him, He's going to bless. We don't need to ignore Him. It doesn't do us a bit of good to ignore God. I mean, to tell you what. And we worry about problems and we know that we can cast our cares on Him, right? We can cast our cares upon Him. We're trying to do right. We're trying to do the things He wants us to do. It creates certain stress in our life. We can cast our cares upon Him. Why? Because He cares for us. We can trust Him in His word. But often we struggle. There was a television program preceding the 1988 Winter Olympics featured blind skiers, if you can imagine that. Training in slalom skiing. Slalom skiing is like one ski, I guess. Okay. Sounds dangerous, whether you're blind or not. But these people were blind, and it sounds fairly impossible, wouldn't you say? They paired these skiers with sighted skiers so that the blind skiers were taught on flats how to make right and left turns. Listen, which was mastered, and then they were taken to the slalom slope, where they, where their sighted partners skied beside them, shouting left, right, and as they obeyed the commands, they were able to negotiate the course and cross the finish line, depending solely, listen, on the sighted skier's word. They either had complete trust in the sighted skier's word, or it was complete catastrophe. And that's the point tonight. In this world, we are really like blind skiers. We are. And we have to rely on the word of God to get us through. And if we don't take the directions, then we will find ourselves in catastrophe. However, if we will decide to listen to God at His word, take heed to His warnings, then we'll find direction to the finish, won't we? Yeah. Joseph understood the sovereignty of God. God knows our need before we do. He's already made provision if we'll just trust Him at His word. But we see in Pharaoh, don't we, that somebody who stepped out and said, I'm going to listen. And it saved the country. And we're going to find out that it's going to save the whole nation of Israel too. Father, we pray tonight Your blessings and Your help. God, help us to see our need what you want us to do and the changes you want us to make, the trust you want us to have for you and your word. Pray, God, that you'll help us to trust you at your word tonight. Lord, help us to, Lord, be the Christians you want us to be. We'll give you the glory in Jesus' holy name. Amen.